Blog Talk Radio.
Yo.
Hi, this is Selena with Say Your Peace Radio Show. Sit back, relax. We want to hear from you. So call in at 347-677-1749 to say your piece. Now, our host, Selena.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm hoping everyone is having a great weekend. It's Saturday, September the 29th, and it is 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Now, you guys, we had to switch up our schedule a little bit as far as the topics go, because there's so many things are going on that's so pressing that I thought I would change up my subjects, in other words, or issues or discussions. Now, tonight, I had an opportunity earlier and to listen to, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Minister Farrakhan, but I was very, very intrigued by his, on September 26th, he did a town hall meeting. Just a minute, let me do something, you guys. I apologize for that. I was listening to Minister Farrakhan earlier today, and he had a town hall meeting on September 26th, and I didn't have a chance to sit down and listen to it then, but I did this last time. And I learned so much from him in the time that I listened to him. First of all, I am not a Muslim at this time. I am not a Muslim. But his teachings are very, very insightful, intellectual, and you learn a lot from him. So I thought I would, to get kind of a wider view of what we're looking at as an American and as the United States. He said some very good things, and it got me to wondering, and that was the whole point behind me changing up what I thought we should talk about tonight. The phone number to call in, if you would like to call in, is 347-677-1749. That's 347-677-1749. Now, what amazed me is that we have to start paying attention to what's going on around us. And sometimes we're not interested, or sometimes, we have so much going on in our lives and we're stressed out about a lot of things. But we have to take time out to pay attention to what's going on. I'm going to say this. I am not sure. This is just my opinion. But a lot of the news media outlets are putting out this garbage, and when I say garbage, this negative garbage, that the economy is in the tank and all the stuff, and a lot of times, you guys, they are pushed through the Associated Press to push this, is to keep it going. If we can keep this, all this drama going, keep the people on edge, wanting to buy weapons, wanting to do this one, the money is being made by the big people. The poor people are suffering, but the big people, the ones that are at the top, are the ones who's making the money. And if we keep pushing this agenda of fear, we will never enjoy life. And maybe that is the ultimate goal of these people, is to make sure that we don't enjoy the rest of our lives. But I'm here to tell you, you guys, we have to come to a consensus that we're going to live life without all the drama if we can. We understand that there's so much going on economically. There's so much going on when it comes to the foreign policies and what's going on in the world. We have to keep our eyes and ears open all the time. I'll put it to you like that. And even though some of the information we do get, we have to get from the news because that's what, you know, we have to deal with. We have no other choice. But we have to understand that America, we have so much we've got to get a grip on that we really don't have time to be bothered with other people's mess. And even though we find ourselves sticking our nose, our money, our arms in other people's business, and it's the way the world is moving, that's the way things are going on, that's the way they have to go on. But if we don't at least get a grip on what's going on in our communities and in our nation, then I say we're headed for we're headed for some bad times. Now, as I was reading the newspaper today and listening to Mr. Farrakhan, I started thinking about stuff and how things are going and why, you know, why are we not where we're supposed to be as far as the nation. We should be on a happier mode as a nation. And are we prepared for what is about to happen mentally? If not physically, but mentally, are we prepared for what's about to happen? We look at what's going on with Iran, and we look at what's going on with Israel. Israel wants America to draw a line in the sand, and that's not necessarily what needs to happen. We need to find a, I don't know if you want to say resolution, or maybe, you know, we need to get our butts out of that. We might need to just let them fight whatever they have to do and get it over with. I'm not a big fan. Just one second, you guys. Just one second. Sorry, you guys. I had to step away for a second again. Thought I was more prepared than what I am. Okay, what I was saying was the situation with Israel The situation with Israel and here we go. The situation with Israel and Iran. I'm praying that whatever goes on, that it doesn't affect us, but I know because America is who they are, that it is going to probably affect them. I mean, affect them, and we're going to get involved in something that we should have never gotten involved in the first place, which is very scary. For the very fact that we are in the midst of it because we as Americans have to stick our nose into everybody's business for some reason, and we can't even take care of our own business. As I was sitting down, doing a little kind of researching and looking around, and it just amazes me that we are not, I don't know how you say that, we're too busy minding everybody else's business. Is that how you say it? Opposed to just taking care of what's going on with our situation, we're more worried about what everybody else is doing instead of worrying about what we need to do, and quit giving money to people who, how do you say that? Quit giving money to people who are literally starting up these wars and having everybody fighting against each other. Why are we doing this? You know, I don't know. I don't know how do we come to a point where, you know, when are we going to stop being part of this big, dramatic circus that's going on right now? We have our own situations going on, but I noticed that we're in everybody's country, we're in everybody's business. And America is so spread so thin now that I'm very afraid that when whatever happens, we're not going to be prepared. And that's just me. And I mean, if you look at the uprising of the embassy, the attacks on the embassies, because people are tired of America poking our noses in other people's business. It's not over, you guys. I'll say that. And the main question is, are we prepared? Are we ready mentally, emotionally, for what's about to take place? Now, I was talking to someone today, and they were saying that, you know, World War III has already started. And I was like, well, what do you mean? Well, if you look at the economic situation, it started in the economic area. I didn't think about it like that, but obviously someone thinks, you know, that's what's going on, that's exactly what's happening. Okay. Now, I noticed, according to the New York Times, it says that they're training for more consulate attacks. Okay, why? And in case there's a next time. Okay, all right. It says in Chesapeake, Virginia, the riot erupted suddenly on the Virginia-North Carolina border in a remote pocket of marshland and pine. Go back to America, the protesters shouted, hurling rubber rocks at a large plywood structure meant to be the United States consulate. Okay, we don't want you here. This is our country. Okay, then it says 24 Marines in a full riot gear marched out in formation, beat their batons against their shields, and otherwise looked menacing. Within minutes, they had pushed back the protesters. Fellow Marines in jeans and hooded sweatshirts and a display of crowd control skills. It says it can't be long day. It can be a long day if you're a rioter, said Sergeant Williams M. Lawson, the instructor who staged the riot. Once you actually start getting aggressive against a Marine, it never ends well. Now, one thing. We're protecting, we're sending our boys and girls over there to protect these embassies and consulates where we volunteer to put our people in harm's way by building these embassies in other people's countries, spending billions of dollars on putting ourselves in these areas, in these different countries. what do we expect? Why is it that we have to be the overseers? And why is it that there's no overseers here now in America from other countries? Because there's no embassies from any other country here in America. Now, it says, in the aftermath of the attack on American diplomatic compound in Benghazi, Libya, the Pentagon sent two teams of elite, specially trained Marines to protect American embassies in Libya and Yemen, and would have deployed a third group to Sudan had not the government in Khartoum said no. So obviously, somebody don't want us somewhere. Okay? That, I mean, that's just something we need to look at. Now, it also says to demonstrate what those units called FAST, F-A-S-T, Marines for Fleet Anti-Terrorism Security Team are trained to do, the Marines put on a show this week at a training center on the edge of Great Dismal Swamp. A clutch of reporters observed Marines repelling Fox rioters, shooting down doors, and clearing a supposed American embassy occupied by militants. Again, let's set the scenario, us packing up, building over in other countries, our embassies to show our strength and our strong and our chest poked out. But people are tired of that. People are tired of us being the bully of all these countries. Okay. The death of four Americans, including Ambassador J. Christopher Stevens in the Benghazi attack, has focused attention on the adequacy of embassy security in danger zones like Libya. Now, let's talk about Libya. Libya was never a danger zone. We created Libya's danger zone. Okay? We created Libya's danger zone. Okay? We created Libya's danger zone. Now, they have no one in charge in Libya now, okay? So everything falls back on America. Now, Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton has announced a review of diplomatic security led by Thomas R. Pickering, a veteran diplomat and former Undersecretary of State, and there have been calls from Congress for an independent investigation. Wow. We sent him over there because we built an embassy and we want to do an investigation of the people who are there. Excuse me. We want to conduct an investigation over there where we sent Ambassador Stevens. to see who did this. Okay. All right. There were no Marines or other American military personnel at the lightly guarded compound in Benghazi, and Marines would not answer questions about how they thought things might have turned out if there had been. The FAST units are intended as a rapid reaction force capable of moving quickly to secure and protect an embassy in crisis. They are not there to engage in offensive ground combat, Marine officials said. Nor are they to be confused with Marine security guards dressed in uniforms who are permanently stationed at more than 150 diplomatic posts worldwide, all under the purview of the State Department. Man, 150 posts worldwide? I didn't know that. Man. Those Marines who often number fewer than a dozen at an embassy or consulate, are charged with the security of both classified material and American personnel. They carry only sidearms but have access to heavier weapons and have at times engaged in combat. In 2004, Marine security guards, and Saudi security had a three-hour gun battle with five attackers on the American consulate in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, that left five consul employees and four of the attackers dead. The FAS Marines are dispersed for rotating six-month tours at three American military bases in Europe, the Middle East, and Asia, so that they can strategically be located near all potential flashpoints. The team in Tripoli, Libya, flew from its base in Rota, Spain, while the team dispatched to Yemen came from a base in Bahrain, the third base in Yokosuka, Japan. Wow. It says, on this morning in the isolated Virginia woods, the Marines practiced shooting down doors consisting of plywood sheets hung from the freestanding metal frames. The right way was to aim at a 45-degree angle for the locking mechanism to the right of the doorknob, then fire. When one knob was blown apart, an instructor brought out a piece of wood with a row of three knobs, which was then attached to the plywood door. The knobs were lined up so that the Marines could practice shooting down doors with knobs in one or three positions. That is not important. The final event was the recapture of American embassy occupied by militants. On command from instructors, the Marines entered the building, encountered cardboard militants wielding weapons and pretending to shoot them. Normally, they would have used live ammunition in the exercise, but not this morning. It's really dangerous, said one of the instructors, Gunnery Sergeant Todd Leahy. This group of Marines in particular, this is their second week of training, so they still have a lot of mistakes they're making. Does anyone ever get hurt? Absolutely, Sergeant Leahy said. We haven't had anybody die yet, but we have had injuries. Down below, the Marines were shouting and practicing an eye thump after shooting a cardboard militant. Sergeant Leahy, 35, a veteran of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, explained, if I would press you in the eyeball, if you're alive, you're going to have a response. If you're dead, you're not going to have a response. In Iraq, we had a lot of people who were fake dead. So the Marine said, put the muzzles to their weapon on the chest of the enemy combatant. They press down on it, and then they thump them in the eye. And if there's a response, they're not dead, and then you take them as a combatant and detain them. With that, the morning was over and consulate was secure. Okay, I just read something here that just told you, you told the enemy exactly what you do. And okay, being a veteran myself, I found it very weird that we were telling them a lot of the information that I thought we shouldn't be telling them, but we did. You guys, we're going to take a break, and we shall return.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom. I go to school with your children. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. You see me around the neighborhood, and you've told me I'm a pretty good kid. Well, I'm one out of every four children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger. My teacher tells me, in this country, we could grow up and be whatever we want. I want to grow up and be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry. Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help. Every dollar you donate helps provide seven meals for kids like me, quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
To help fight hunger in central Louisiana and to find your local food bank, visit feedingamerica.org. That's feedingamerica.org.
Only in a perfect world. Only in a perfect world. Only in a perfect world. Only in a you. In a perfect world, all my bills will be paid in a year advance without a chance to lay fees to be made. No more dialing 800 numbers from the call ID. Man, that was your mama calling from out of town. In a perfect world, I can get some from my wife when I want to. Yeah, I know you
tired, yeah, me
too. In a perfect world, singers will wait on their mate. Not in a hurry for some sex to get in your mind. If we get married, we'll be straight. In a perfect world, the church will be in unity. Not hate no folks who moved out of the community. In love with some gossip, yo, we gotta stop this. Clicking over ticks like gangs, bloods, or crips. Who's side you on? Fools today trying to watch a phone, selling their souls just to get on. Get on.
Only in a perfect world. Only in a perfect world. Only in a perfect world. Everything's alright. Only in a perfect world. Only in a perfect world. Only in a perfect world. Imagine love.
Act a fool like riding a brand new Lexus sitting on 22. Everything'll be good, no worries, no cares. And I'd have the biggest house sitting on St. Cloud. I wouldn't work for the city, cause I'd be rich. And anything my family wanted, I would just go and get it. I wouldn't understand what being in debt means. I'd be too busy having fun, man, and living my dream. But if this world were perfect, would we really need Jesus? Ministering his word, converting sinners to believers. Would we go and feed the hungry? Would we care for the poor? Cause if we had everything, we wouldn't pray anymore. If this world were perfect, would we really need worship? Living a life of holiness and thinking that it's worth it. If this world were perfect, would I be in this spot? I love my life in Jesus Christ, so I'm glad it's not. It's not.
Only in a perfect world. Only in a perfect world. Only in a perfect world.
Made it on to heaven, the purple land.
Yeah. I always fall asleep on a private jet. I just asked my PA what we got next. He said we on the way to the bay with 10 chicks. This what I do. Yeah, I'm so blessed. I make music all day, no stress. Plus I'm breathing through life with no tears. And I don't get tempted in life, no flesh. Wish I budget, what it said. Videos and promos, advances, all of that. Plus we got the whole fam on staff and everybody play their role. Only when one head and every artist in the world on the same label. We all get paid the same, ain't no idle chase.
Yeah, now that would be great, but I got work at 8.
Only in a perfect world.
Radio. If you want to call in and join the conversation, you can call in at 347-677-1749. That's 347-677-1749. Now, let's continue with our conversation. We just got through, I basically kind of discussed an article talking about training the Marines just in case another attack on our embassies or consulates take place, which I totally disagree with us telling us exactly what we're doing. I just have issues with that, but that's me being prior service, being a veteran myself. I just don't think – I never did like the idea that we told what type of weapons we had, what type of – how many troops we had on the ground, how many troops we had in the field. I just had issues with discussing that with the world, which we've done it over and over again, and it really hasn't gotten us anywhere. And I was also discussing the ideal that, and I just found out just by reading that article, that we are in 150 different places, worldwide. That is a lot of troops spread thinly around. And for us to have that much power to be in so many different places, that just amazes me. And when we come home, we are not getting the respect, and I will say it, the respect that is due to us after all we've done. We find ourselves and we basically are doing what we're told, what we signed up to do, and that is to take care of America, to keep them safe, in other words. And I'm wondering, are we losing people at an alarming rate for nothing? It bothers me sometimes that we've gotten to the point where it seems like we're so greedy to the point where we're not looking at the consequences all of this is taking, and the toll is taking on our families, on America itself. I don't want to leave out President Obama, and this is nothing negative toward him, because I learned that he is not the final say-so. There's other people, we say, pulling the strings. And we get fascinated and caught up in the ideal that he is a black man. And what we have to learn is him being black, how do you say that? It's important, but that's not all to it. He's having to make a lot of decisions that will affect us in a lot of ways. And I want to say this, are we prepared for another 4 years? With everything that's going on with the economy, with the ideal that our foreign policies, are they actually working? When you think about China, the situation with China, are we really, really prepared for another 4 years? I think the frustration that's going on with all these other countries, I think about Libya. We killed Gaddafi for no reason, and to be honest with you, there was no reason. We went in for bin Laden. We wind up killing Hussein. It's like we're starting to, like the Republican Party right now. Let me say it like this. With all the fumbling the Republican Party is making, you think of Mitt Romney, you think of Paul Ryan, all the stuff that they're doing that's it's like they're, if it's one catastrophe after another, over and over again, they're doing crazy things that I don't want to laugh, but I have to, that they're doing that's really not good in a lot of ways. I think America has to understand this. We have done some things, and the way I see it, we're about to, and I don't want to sound negative, but I have a feeling we are about to
get what is due to us. And people are tired, and I'm just saying it like it is. People are tired. People are tired, and I'm not just talking about America. I'm talking about people from other countries like Egypt, Libya. Let's see, where's the other places where they're having the outburst? Those are only two I can think of right off the top of my head at this time. They're just tired. They're literally tired of us dipping in their business, okay? we haven't learned that we have to start minding our own business when it comes to a lot of things. It's too late because we've been in these places, these countries, for years. For years, years, and years, and years. And we have to realize that if we don't get a grip on taking our noses out of other people's business, it's going to be time for it to come back around to us. And it's going to be our fault. I'm going to say it like it is. It's going to be our fault, and we're going to have to live with what's coming our way. We really are. We're going to have to live with what is coming our way, and it's not all good, okay? I think about, we talk about, let's talk about also Africa. Afrikaan is what it's called. Where a lot of these greedy Africans that are in higher places, I'm going to say it like it is, that are allowing China to come in and rape their lands. They're fighting with the miners. Miners go on strike. I might be talking about two different places, or I might be talking about the same place. I have to think about that before I start talking about it. But let's talk about the unit of the Afrikaan and how they've come in and literally taken over the government in Africa, because you have, I mean, it's, if you think about it, it's almost like the slave trade. It really is. It's almost like the slave trade, because they turned around and instead of selling the people, they're selling the land. And the Chinese people are coming in, and they're take over. I mean, it amazes me that we're letting them do it, but, I mean, not us, but, you know, greed is killing us. It's killing us. And according to an article I just pulled up, I'm surprised, it says, Afrikaan rejected by the Africans. And it says on November the 5th, 2008, the new U.S., AFRICOM, African Command, could not find a home in Africa. AFRICOM is similar in organization to other commands, Central for Middle East and South for Latin America, etc. AFRICOM will coordinate all American military operations in Africa. Before those operations were coordinated between two commands, the one covering Europe and the one covering Latin America, the establishment of AFRICOM means more money for the counter-terror operations in Africa and more long-range projects. But the U.S. could not find a country with the combination
of infrastructure and willingness to host a base for AFRICOM headquarters. That's amazing. They don't want us over there, and I wonder why. One thing most African nations do want from AFRICOM are military and counterterrorism trainers. The problem with this is that the people so trained are often then employed as enforcers for the local dictator. Even providing training for peacekeepers can backfire, for those peacekeeping skills can also be used to pacify your own people. This lack of cooperation in hosting AFRICOM is troublesome, although not unexpected. Many of the requests for basing rights come from large financial incentives, rent payments, jobs for locals. It says the United States is a major provider of foreign aid to Africa and has been for some time. The mass media has been painting the U.S. as Mr. Evil for a long time, especially in nations with large Muslim populations. But eventually reality trumps propaganda. However, the reality of Africa is that the place is poorly governed, poorly policed, and poorly served by its elected or self-appointed leaders. Now, okay, I'm reading this article and I'm kind of teed off just a little bit, because even though I'm not in Africa and I'm not really familiar with the infrastructure of how it's set up, but this could be propaganda. We need America. Poor, poor, poor America. We need them here. Okay? We really need America over here because our government is messed up. I'm sorry, again, I don't believe it. Okay. It says, but eventually reality trumps propaganda. However, the reality of Africa is that the place is poorly governed, poorly policed, and poorly served by its elected or self-appointed leaders. Corruption and crime are abundant, and terrorists have no trouble operating there. This is Africa. Okay, the main reason the terrorists don't do more dirt there is that even terrorists like a more predictable and less chaotic environment. The U.S. is spending $92 million to build office and support facilities for the AFRICOM near Southcom headquarters outside Miami, Florida. Construction will be complete next year. AFRICOM headquarters are currently located outside of Stuttgart, Germany, where it will remain until a home can be found in African country. Many African nations are leery about getting involved. There is a fear of terrorist attack on any AFRICOM facility in their territory, and some African nations, at least those run by dictators, would don't want more Americans and their democratic ideals upsetting the status quo. The current thinking is that AFRICOM headquarters will remain in Germany for a long time. Now, AFRICOM is one of six unified commands that have regional responsibility for all U.S. military operations in their area. The other five are Central Com. CENTCOM covers the Middle East, Afghanistan, and Central Asia, whose headquarters is in Tampa, Florida. European Com Command, EUCOM, covers Europe and Russia, is in Stuttgart, Germany. Pacific Command, which is PACOM, covers the Pacific, China, and India, America, and America, is in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Southern Command, SOUTHCOM, covers, but given the situation in South America, moving it back, is headquartered in Panama, but given the situation in South America, moving it back to the United States seemed a prudent idea. Same thing with CENTCOM, although they do have a tactical headquarters in the Persian Gulf. So why is it that we have to be in all these different places? I'm not understanding. Why do we have to be in all these different places? Why? What is the deal with us being in all these different places? I don't know. I'm just, I'm trying to figure out why are we all over the place. When are we going to pay attention, and why do we have to be in all these different places? I don't get it. I don't know. I'm spellbound. Okay, you guys, we're going to take another break real quick here, and we'll be back with Say Your Piece here on Blog Talk Radio.
Favorite time of the year is summertime. Summertime, and the living is easy. Fish are jumping.
Okay, we are back with Say Your Peace. If you want to call in, you can call in at 347-677-1749. We have a little bit less than 39 minutes to go on the show. Okay. Now, let's get back to our conversation. We just discussed AFRICOM and that the idea, I don't know what the date was. I said 2008, but I don't know if that was a recent date of the idea that America doesn't have any place in Africa for AFRICOM. They don't want them there, and I'm not surprised. None whatsoever. Okay. I noticed that it says also here, and that was from an article called Leadership that I found. The name of this news article is Iranian minister, Israel already crossed nuclear red line, and it's from the website called DW. I've never heard of it, but it's called DW.D. So, and this is an article that I found on this one. It says, Israel has already crossed its nuclear red line. Iranian Defense Minister Ahmad Fahidi said Saturday in response to remarks by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Yahu. Earlier this week at the UN General Assembly. It says, during his speech at the United Nations in New York, Netanyahu used an illustrated bomb diagram to call for a clear red line to be drawn with regard to Iran's nuclear program, which he says is being used to develop atomic weapons. Vahidi responded in kind on Saturday, saying Israel has already breached its own nuclear red line. If having the atomic bomb is passing the red line, the Zionist regime that possesses dozens of nuclear warheads and weapons of mass destruction has passed the red line years ago, and it has to be stopped. Vahidi told the ISNA news agency. It says, which country is more dangerous? Asked the minister. A regime with nuclear weapons threatening another company with military attack, or a country which is in favor of nuclear disarmament and pursues peaceful nuclear programs within international regulations? Israel is the only official nuclear power in the Middle East. Analysts estimating an arsenal of up to 200 or more weapons. Israel, member of the Atomic Energy Agency, has never signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Whoa, didn't know that. Though Iran insists its nuclear program is for peaceful purposes, Israel has said otherwise, warning of the existential threat from Tehran. U.S. in full agreement. It says the White House said Friday in a press release that U.S. President Barack Obama and Netanyahu are in full agreement on the shared goal of preventing Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon. The release added that the two leaders are working closely in dealing with the issues regarding the threat posed by Iran, its nuclear program, proliferation, and support for terrorism. Okay. Okay, America, again, this is just me. We're sticking our nose in the middle. But we were already in the midst of all that, that mess between Iran and Israel that's been going on. And again, and I was listening again to Minister Farrakhan today, and he mentioned the idea that Israel is the one who's always crying, poor me, they're picking on me, they're doing me wrong, and he's the spoiled child that
America has created. And we birthed it, and I think other countries have noticed how we favor Israel. Not to say that I'm against Israel, I just don't like the idea that now they're picking on Iran, and this has been going on for years, and they're going to be fighting even after we're gone. They'll still be fighting. Which is crazy, but this will be going on for a while. If it takes place the way that it's planning on taking place, it's going to happen. And we have to be prepared for it. Even though it's none of our business to a certain extent, but because we're so entrenched in Israel, it's going to affect us. And I feel sorry for President Obama because he's caught in the middle of this, but, you know, that goes along with the territory when you become the president of the United States. You have to deal with it. And I guess you can say that's what they're going to have to do. I really, really hope and pray that something can give before then, but those are some fighting people. They've been fighting for years, and it's nothing we can do to stop it. There's just nothing we can do to stop it. Again, if you want to join the conversation, you can call in at 347-677-1749. That's 347-677-1749. Now, I didn't mention that my co-host was not here tonight. It's just me. We're almost done with the show, and it's just me. And I just wanted to kind of just do a 90-minute show opposed to 120 minutes. We both needed a break again, because what people don't realize is that me and my co-host, we do a lot of outside things other than on the radio. We're on the radio here, and we're also on the radio on the AM station in our home, in our town. And so we're together all the time. Then plus we're working on a case also, so we're always on the phone together. We're always trying to make stuff happen together. So I think tonight was a good night that I would take it on by myself, since, you know, he needed a break probably, you know, get some time with his family. But I thought I would just take my time out to kind of talk to you guys when I thought about it, to kind of change up the subject. We have plenty of time to talk about the economy. We have plenty of, talk about what are we going to do to prepare ourselves for our future. We have time for that. These are more pressing issues, and I'm hoping you guys are learning things from what I'm saying. I'm hoping you are, and I hope you do your own research and find out for yourself. And probably a lot of you guys already know a lot more than what I know when it comes to foreign policies and situations like this. It's good to study and know, and that's why I encourage people. I encourage people to read on a constant basis, because if we don't know what's going on around us, we're going to be lost. And you know what it says about, without knowledge, our people will perish, because we don't want to learn anything. But we talked about several things here, and I'm hoping I'm not just jumping from subject to subject, but it all ties in together, because eventually it's going to happen, and we just have to, prepare ourselves for what's coming our way. I don't know how prepared we are going to be when this happens. I'm hoping that we'll be able to. I hope it doesn't affect us to a certain extent, even though in my mind I know it will. I'm hoping that it doesn't. And if Iran and Israel wants to fight, America really doesn't need to be in it. That's when we really need to pack our people up and bring them home.
I'm sorry. That's just me. I don't see, you know, we've gotten so greedy and materialistic and money hungry that we're all over the place trying to keep our dibs on everything. And we have to understand, the Bible will fulfill itself. It has no other choice but to fulfill itself. And we just, be prepared. It's scary, and I'm going to say it like that. It's very scary that I'm hoping we're going to be able to withstand what's coming our way. We are kind of a people that I hear this new saying, YOLO, you only live once. And to me, that's just an excuse to do whatever the hell you want to do, whenever you want to do it, which to me doesn't make any sense. But we do it. That's just how we are. We don't want to have to answer to nobody. We don't want to we don't want to take responsibility for the actions. And it's just amazing. And I'm saying this because while I'm talking, I'm looking in what is this? This is a Chain Reference Bible, Thompson. This is not the New King James Version. And I was just sitting here, like, reading this, and it just kind of blowed my mind. When it says, I'm not trying to get preachy on you or anything, but I was reading in Revelations, and this is chapter 15, Revelations 15, and it's talking about the seven last plagues. It says, and I saw another sign in the heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them it is filled up with the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the name of his name, over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing a song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their beasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials, full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Wow. So, I guess you're saying, how does that tie into what I'm talking about? This has to take place. It all boils down to, no matter what, whether we're prepared for it or not, this has to take place. Then it says in chapter 16, the angels poured out their vials. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as blood of a of excuse me became as the blood of the dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and waste and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and that thou hast given them blood to drink, and they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, and true and righteous are they, are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out a vial, his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they surfeited not to their deeds, and they refused to repent. Now, the cock will be home to roost. And when I say cock, I'm talking about a rooster. The cock will be home to roost. And I'm going to leave that part with you. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of these deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Talking about the day of Armageddon. Okay. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into the place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightning, and there was a great earthquake, such as what was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and the great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give upon unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blaspheming God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great. Man. The cock will come home to roost. The cock will come home to roost. And we had better be prepared. We had better be prepared. We're going to take one more break, you guys, and we shall return with, we have 20 minutes left in the show. Like I said before, if you wanted to call in, it's 347-677-1749, 347-677-1749, and we'll be back.
Mentality of a superstar.
When it was just a dream, just a moment ago, I was up so high, looking down at the sky. Don't let me fall. I was shooting for stars on a Saturday night. They say what goes up must come down, but don't let me fall. Don't let me
try to make it somewhere that these haters want. So high in the sky with life challenging life, hoping I don't flunk. Thinking to myself, what would it be like if we ain't had no haters? Music wasn't invented yet. Who be the paper chasers? So it's a privilege, so I must extend it to the fullest. Keep a positive vibe, not looking for that open bullet. We should have learned after that pocket biggest situation. That's a valuable lesson, no need to keep it ovulating. Man, it's a natural high, don't shoot me down like Dean Smith. I'm heading to a legendary path like Will Smith. My mentality is strong, just like a superstar. My wings are getting higher, trying to take my business real far.
Up so high, looking down at the sky, don't let me fall. I was shooting for stars on a Saturday night. They say what goes up must come down, but don't let me fall.
Up in the cannon, I'm a shooting star. Please don't let me fall unless it's falling in the catalog. I'm having great success in climbing up the billboards. Please extend my ladder, cause I'm trying to climb a little more. Wanna be known as Cassius Clay, up on the microphone. In other words, the greatest. Defeating haters up in my zone. Hopefully haters don't try to praise me and knock me down as I head towards the stars. Full circling back around. Hip hop is my parachute. If I fall, it should save my life. It costs to be the boss, and I'm aiming towards the penny price. I'm in the making, so till then I do it happily. It starts off in your dreams, so bring your dreams to reality.
Just a dream, just a moment ago, I was up so high, looking down at the sky. Don't let me fall. I was shooting for stars on a Saturday night. They say what goes up must come down, but don't let me fall. Don't let me fall. Don't let me fall.
back with Say Your Piece. I'm your host, Salita. My co-host, Brian, is out tonight. If you want to call in to kind of dive into the conversation, it's 347-677-1749. That's 347-677-1749. And we were basically talking about the economic situation, the ideal that we might be going into World War III. I basically just read Revelations chapters 15 and 16. Like I said, I'm not getting preachy on anybody, but it kind of comes around. Everything seems to come around back to the beginning. And I kept saying that the cock is coming home to roost, and we need to be prepared for that. I'm hoping that what I've said tonight gives you something to think about. We have to be prepared, and it has to happen in order for prophecy to fulfill itself. We believers, according to Revelations, this has to happen. I don't want to make it sound like I'm putting fear in your heart, but I'm getting you prepared. I'm praying that we live through this. I'll be honest with you. I just pray that everything works itself out, in that things will be the way that it needs to be, and that we can live this out, because it has to happen. America has to understand we have dues to pay, and that's just how it is. We have dues to pay. Before we kind of conclude, because we have about eight minutes to go, I want to kind of get you guys, keep you up informed on the different things that we're doing. As you know, we have Say Your Piece, the Blog Talk Radio, that comes on every Saturday at 10 p.m. from 10 to 12, or whenever I want to close it out. I have a newspaper. It's from Paperly. It's called paper.li, and it's called We Speak Now News. It keeps us up with the updates of different things that are going on around the world. We have, me and Brian, we both have our own radio shows. I'm the co-host on his radio show, which is on KTTP, 1110 AM. That's on the AM station here locally in Alexandria. And every Friday, I have a show where I'm not so serious and we have fun. It's called Lily Showcase Radio Show. And what we do is we interview authors and musicians, and we talk about their works, and we talk about their journey into writing their books and how they're helping out. And my thing is, I believe reading is very important, and you hear me say that on here. Reading is very, very important. We have that. You can find us on Facebook. Me and Brian, we're on Facebook. You can also... we have our own website. It's www.lilyauthorshowcase.com, and that's for the radio show, my radio show that comes on 88.1 FM in Alexandria. It's KYT. It's the call numbers for the radio. And I'm on there every Friday at 5 o'clock, and that's, you'll see the happy side of me on that one. I'm not as serious. We'll be coming up on our one-year anniversary in October, matter of fact, next week. And I'm happy, and I never thought that I would be lasting this long on live radio. Not to say Blog Talk is not live radio. I'm talking about actually sitting in the studio and doing it. But God has been good. God has opened up some doors for me, and it's just me taking my feet and walking through it and making sure I'm prepared to walk through it. It's been a journey, I'll say that much. And it has so much more, and we have so much more to give. And I'm praying that God allows us to live to see the gifts that we're giving back to our community and giving back to people. As you know, we've been working on the Bruce Smith case, me and Brian, Roz Ratliff, Dr. Velba Bowles, who also has a show on here every Thursday. I think her show comes on at 5 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. We have been working diligently to find justice for Bruce and pray to God that we can. As you know, he's the one where his son was drowned in Arrows, Louisiana. And we're trying to make sure we got all our ducks in a row before we literally take this to the streets. And that's what we're trying to do now. It's a long journey. We have a lot. We got a long ways to go with this, and pray to God that everything works itself out and that Mr. Bruce Smith gets his justice that is due. And the people who were very much so involved in this, that they get their due. It's amazing the things that we go through to just get an answer. I mean, that's all we want is an answer. And why and what is the end result of it? And this has been a long journey, and I say that because everything that I try to do, I'm hoping I'm doing it to help others. And in the meantime, I attempt to keep a humble heart and a humble spirit. And I just want everybody to know that we just need to be prepared. We need to stay prayed up. Whoever you pray to, pray to God is not the devil, but whoever you pray to, that you stay prayed up and be prepared and keep your eyes and your ears open and learn things on your own. Don't always expect for people to spoon feed it to you, but learn it on your own. Take time out and teach your family about it if you have to. But we're in for a long, hard road, and this is not to make you feel bad or make you feel like you got to have fear in your heart, because I don't want to do that. But I do want to prepare you guys. We have a long way to go, and we have to be prepared for it. And that's just how it is. I'm hoping you continue to listen in, and I'm hoping the information that I give, you guys can use it. I pray that you can, if I give out any information that you would be interested in. We have to be prepared for the economy. We have to be prepared for our everyday lives, our communities, but we have to step up to the plate, you guys. We have to. We can't continue to depend on someone else to take care of us. We've got to learn to do it on our own. We've got to, because we're not for sure that there's going to be a government. You know, I'm not saying doom and gloom, but, you know, we need to prepare to know what we have to do for ourselves. We have to stop sitting around waiting for someone else to make the call for us. And we begging and we got our hands out. We have to stand up and do for ourselves. It's inevitable now. It's inevitable that we have to do this. I want to say again, thank you for all the people who've listened in. I hope, again, that I've given you some stuff to take with you. Our caller number is 347-677-1749 if you didn't call in today. Hopefully next week when we come back, you can call in. I haven't decided what I wanted to talk about next week. I know I should be good at keeping agenda, but sometimes it's best to kind of free flow it sometimes. You can still learn in the process, and I hope I am giving you some information to learn from, because that's my job. That's what I want to do. Because you didn't call in and say your piece. I'm still going to say, I want to say thank you for listening in, you guys. And this has been Salida with Say Your Piece. Hopefully Brian Coleman will be back next week with us. And you guys have a great night. Have a safe rest of the weekend. Bye-bye.